So, there's the sermon for today. Actually, I really don't have much of a sermon today. Thanksgiving is the time of year where everybody is reminded that it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And so, what we're going to do today, I do want to set this up just a little bit, but I'm going to ask that you be the sermon today. I want you to think about something that you might want to share in the way of thanksgiving towards God today. So be thinking about that, and we're going to open the mic up here in just a minute for you to come and share. Think about how to share that briefly, if you possibly can, so that a lot of people have to do this. Thanksgiving, it's a weird holiday, right? Turkeys and all that kind of stuff. But you know, when the pilgrims celebrated their first Thanksgiving in 1621, do you know that half of their original group had died? See, Thanksgiving is something that we do to God because He is worthy to be praised, and He's worthy to be thanked. These pioneers, they were able to focus on God's goodness and on His mercy, even in the midst of serious trials, sorrow and sadness in a lot of cases, because their friends, some of their family, had passed away. And maybe I think they were just following the instruction of Philippians 2:5, which says, you must have the same mind, the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Think about this for a minute. Jesus, knowing exactly what He had to go through to save us all, gave thanks to His Father and shared a meal with His family on the very night that He was betrayed and arrested. So they were following His example. Being thankful when someone does something good for us is considered to be polite behavior in most cultures, including our own. But as Christians, we're called beyond just simply giving thanks when good things happen. Anybody can do that. We're instructed to give thanks not only for the good things that God does for us, and we should, but also for who He is. Just giving thanks for who He is. And it's more than just good manners. Giving thanks does something. It takes the focus off of ourselves. It brings us closer to God, and it helps us fulfill our calling to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in our families and in our world today. Philippians 4, 6 through 8 is probably one of the most well-known verses about giving thanks, but I want us to read this and think about it for a minute. Do not be anxious about anything. Yeah. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, adelphoi, that Greek word that means brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is what we should do when we give thanks, because we're called to give thanks. In Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, we used to sing this all the time. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. This Thanksgiving holiday that we have, it's an annual reminder that God is in control and that He is good. And we need that reminder today and really every day of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18 tells us that we should pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And as we look at Jesus' example, His example is to give thanks to God, not just for the good things that He's done. Yes, we should do that for the things that He's given to us, but we should also give Him thanks because He walks with us every day through every situation that we go through in our life, the good and the bad. So I'm going to open this up and ask you to come and give thanks, and I think I'm going to be the first one, if you don't mind. I want to give thanks to the Lord. This year, this is the year my father went to be with Jesus. And I want to give thanks to the Lord because that outcome was not certain for a long time. And I am so thankful that my dad found peace with God and is in heaven with him. And even now, as I pray, I have a niece that is, she's got metastatic breast cancer, and she's got melanoma, and it's very advanced. I have three nieces. I've had one that's already had breast cancer when she was in her 20s. She's been healed and is cancer-free. I have another niece that had a brain tumor, very serious. She's now free of all of that and is living a perfectly wonderful and healthy life. And now I have a niece that has metastatic breast cancer and melanoma with two children, 12 and 14, and a wonderful husband. But you know what? She knows the Lord. And every time she posts about what's going on in her life, she posts from the scriptures and points people toward God in the midst of her circumstance. I give thanks to God for that, that in each and every circumstance, he is good. Amen. So, your turn.
Got me through. I've prayed that many, many times in 1 hour to survive. But, I mean, when I just look back, I was walking with Christina probably like the day after I started taking my medicine. And she said, oh, well, Mom, maybe by next year you'll have stopped. I'm like, oh, no. You know, I'm done. And only by the grace of God have I survived. And I like the beginning of Philippians 4:4, before be anxious about nothing. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And I just praise God because he's always been near.
I'd like to give thanks to God for his faithfulness, even when maybe we're not so faithful. Due to a lot of circumstances I won't go into, I lost 3 of my 4 children. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed in this process. And he let them go anyway. And I was so, so angry at God. I never lost my faith in him that he was there, but I was so angry at him for not answering my prayers my way, because, you know, I know best, okay? But years later, I had sinus issues and I had sinus surgeries. And recovery from the third one was proving to be really, really tough. And I was laying in my bed, and I thought I was going to die. And I prayed to God to please forgive me and come. And immediately there was this sense of being on Jesus' lap. Couldn't tell you what he looked like, I don't know, but I can tell you it was the best feeling I have ever had in my entire life. And he spoke to me, and he said, child, I've been here all along. All you had to do was just reach out your hand, because mine has been there. And I said, but Father, I was mad at you. And he said, you may have been, but I've never been mad at you. I've always been there. I've never been mad. And as a footnote, I now have contact with all of my children. I see them. I see my grandchildren. God knew best. He really did. but I didn't know that. But I give thanks that through it all, he knew best, he did it his way, he kept me alive and going, and he was there, and he never got mad at me. He is indeed a faithful, loving God, and I thank him.
I just thank God for good, strong men, for elders and pastors and all those good things. I'm so full of thanksgiving because of something I truly believe the Holy Spirit has shown me over about the last month. I don't know about you, but I have family members who consider their Nana and their mother-in-law and so forth fanatical. And God has just shown me that that's what he calls every one of us to be. All you have to do is really think about the first and second commandments, and that's fanaticism. All your heart, all your mind, all your strength, might, etc., and your neighbors as yourself, that's fanaticism. But that's what our Father God, Son, and Holy Spirit call us to. And he wants us to be fanatical like little children are fanatical about fathers and brothers and sisters and mamas. And remembering always that we come to our God as little children, very excited about everything they're doing and everything the Father asks them to do, they obey. So let me put your heart and mind at rest. Remember, we are called to fanaticism. And be whoever wants to call us fanatic, praise the Lord and give thanksgiving for it.
I'm an old woman too, I mean, you know. Good morning. And I'm glad that I can say that, because had events not been as crazy as they were, George offered a job, us make a move in 3 weeks' time from the beach up here, I would not be standing here. We didn't understand why somebody from Durham came to Holden Beach looking for him for a job. First of all, that made no sense. Secondly, we didn't understand how we found a house, moved everything, and were up here, like I said, in 3 weeks' time. But we soon found out, because a cardiologist at the beach, a stress test down at the beach, had missed that I had a heart condition. Fortunately, the first doctor I went to up here said he didn't like what he heard. So he sent me to a cardiologist. He liked it even less. This was like on a Friday. Tuesday morning, they did a catheterization on me. They didn't even let me off the table. Two men lifted me up, took me to the heart unit. The following Friday, I had open heart bypass surgery. I had 96, 96, 94, and 46 blockage. Why I had not had a heart attack and doing all this moving and everything, nobody could figure. But I knew, because my Father has carried me for 70 years through a lot of stuff, a lot of junk and everything else, but he's always been there. But during the hospital stay, see, I can't have morphine, codeine, hydrocodone. I can't have any of the painkillers because I'm allergic to them. They'll kill me. The only thing I could have was extra strength Tylenol through this surgery and everything. One morning about 2 o'clock, I was laying there and the pain was just super intense. And for one time in my life, I actually prayed, God, please just take me. I can't stand this. Please take me. Well, the person in the room, the next door room to mine, evidently had gotten sick or had an accident or something. And a lady from the cleaning crew came up and cleaned his room. Well, she must have heard me moaning or something, I don't know. But she came into the room and she just started stroking my arm. And I knew she was praying because every now and then I would hear, Jesus. I couldn't understand anything else she was saying. But she was saying, Jesus, stroking my arm. That pain just lifted and went away. I did not have that intense pain and that deep ever again. I had pain, but not to the extent of that. So God is always there. He is always there. And I know that night especially, He can send an angel in any form. And you may not be able to understand that angel, just like sometimes we don't understand what God does. We don't need to understand. We need to just accept it and give thanks that He's always there for us and will send someone for us. Thank you.
I'm thankful for the way God has moved in my life and my family's life, me and also Caroline and I, becoming an elder. I mean, that was just awesome. You know, I prayed for it. I prayed I wanted to be in a position, but I wasn't going to ask, and then Dub asked me. I mean, that was awesome. And then, you know, the win that kind of came into Caroline and I's marriage, and we're working through things and we're coming closer together, which is really awesome. You know, and then, you know, some things happened, you know, monetarily in our house, and it's kind of really shook us. Then we found out my mom had cancer, and I was angry, but I know there's only two sides. There's God's side and devil's side, so I'm not moving away from God, but I was angry, and I was truthful in my prayer. And same thing, thinking, God, this is how you should have done this. You know, my mom should not have cancer. My dad just got over cancer. So, you know, there's a better way. And I, you know, I was reading Job, and he said, would you rather me be wrong? I'm like, heavens, no. You have to be right, God. And I have to trust that. And so just the ability to say, no, God, this is where I am, and I trust you. I am so thankful for that. For most of my life, that hasn't been the case. Most of my life, I would stay in this little grump and then eventually come out of it. But the Lord is just, it's like, come on, let's keep going, Jamil. Let's keep going. And so He's really blessed me and in that situation and increased my faith. So that's what I'm thankful for.
I've got many things to be thankful for, but I just think the Holy Spirit dropped this in to me. I don't usually acknowledge people, but I just wanted you to know, for many of you probably don't know, but the fanatical lady sitting back there wouldn't be a Christian assembly if it weren't for her and a few of her friends. This is before my time. And they had a hunger for what was going on back in the 60s and 70s. And Jesus says, if you seek me, you'll find me. And they started praying, this little group. And as a result, Bob Gibbons came to town, who had been at Duke, and he was a divinity student. As a result of that, Lynn's husband also had a TV station here. He owned one of the first TV stations. And I'm not quite sure all the connections, but you can talk to her some morning at coffee. But they invited, they heard about Art Katz and Ernie Gordon's husband, Paul, who had a ministry. And so they came down and they started Ben Israel program. And then Paul and Ernie moved here, and the rest is history, because then we started, you know, people started, by that time I had already, I joined in with Lynn's group with some other women. But if it wouldn't have been for that lady, that was the first seed that was planted by the Holy Spirit. So God is good. Thank you, God, for giving us Lynn, and thank you, Lynn, for your obedience to the Holy Spirit all these years.
You know, it's just, I want to thank God so much for my beautiful wife. She has really done so much for me and been so just there and gives and gives and gives. So, but I know that's because of God. That's he's given me, and I'm like, how did I get somebody like that? And but it's God just has shown me so much kindness and goodness, and you know, having this heart business going on, cancer, back surgery, you know, I just keep having all these surgeries, and I come on out of them pretty good. So I'm just thankful. I just give thanks to God. It's, I know He's with me, and I wish I was a little more with Him, but you know, He loves me, and I know that. And so I praise God for all His wonderful goodness and kindness to me.
How can I not say thank you with all this huge family God has given me? And you know, the 22nd of this month, my husband and I would have been married 58 years. And you know, sometimes when I lie in bed, I think, okay, Marty, you know, he said I would miss him when he goes, and here I am, you know, with all of this great big huge family. And I just want to thank God that His grace is sufficient. If anyone is sitting here today and not recognizing God's grace, believe me, and it's the only way we can get through this Christian walk is by His grace. So I want to thank Him for that and thank Him for His faithfulness. Amen.
Guess y'all can't guess what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that my husband's here. I'm thankful that the Lord has spared his life so many times. I'm thankful for the peace that God has given me through all these things, that he will take care of me, that he is always there, he is always faithful, he will never leave or forsake us. And I'm thankful for all of y'all, for the grace and the love that y'all have shown us.
Don't worry, I'm not that much of my father's daughter. You know when you think about something and you're like, yeah, whatever, and then it keeps going over and over and over in your mind? That's when I usually know that God wants me to get up here. And then my upper lip starts quivering. But y'all may think this is kind of simple or something that we really take for granted. But I am really grateful and thankful for this family. And I'll tell you why. A lot of you've known me since I was, you know, all my life, and you know all the things that I've been through, and I just thank God for this family who has loved me unconditionally, regardless of where I've been in my life. And I've been in some pretty bad places, but we won't go there. But every time I would come back to church, no matter how guilty I felt, or how ashamed I felt, or how, you know, bad I felt, just because of where my life was at certain periods in my life, nobody judged me in this church. Nobody looked down on me. Everybody loved me unconditionally. And I see that. I mean, I've been to several churches, you know, in the past 20 years. They say you can never go home, but really, there is no place like home. And we've talked about it in this church, you know, in the past, about how, you know, we are family. And what is this family going to be doing? Where is God going to take us? But we really are family. You may not know each other very well. There may be somebody new coming in. But I notice that when a new person comes, everybody in this church just, at different times, embraces that person. And it's a genuine godly love. It's not, oh great, another person to add to the tithe box, you know, or another person to add to our youth or whatever. I mean, we like that, we want that, because God's called that as a ministry. But it's not, oh good, our church is gonna get bigger, so we have this big church. It's a genuine love and acceptance of where we are at that time, where that person is at that time. And when Dub said earlier that, you know, be thinking about what you're grateful for, that was the first thing that hit me. I'm really grateful for this church and the unconditional love that each one of you who have known me since I was, you know, knee high to a grasshopper, and those of you that I have come to know since I've been back, that sort of know my story from that point on, you haven't judged me. You haven't looked at me like, oh, well, what did she do wrong? You know, or why is that, you know? You've just loved me because I'm me. And everybody here does that to each other. And I want you guys to really understand how important that is, and how I just know that that makes God smile, you know, because we should always be like that. You know, I've been in too many churches that were judgmental just by the way clothes were worn, or makeup, or, you know, how someone looks, instead of just opening your arms and doing what God does and loving the person unconditionally. So that's what I'm really grateful for. So thanks.
So some of you probably don't know me, even though I've been here for a long time. Something that many of you may not know about me is that I suffer from depression. It's something I don't like to talk about because it causes one of two things. Either people suddenly walk on eggshells around you, or they start telling you, well, just cheer up, which neither of which is helpful. Or they think they're suddenly qualified to tell me how I should deal with it, which is also not helpful. But anyway, that's not what I'm up here to talk about. What I'm here to say is that because of that kind of thing, and because of the personality that I've developed over the years with that as something I struggle with, is I'm not good at being thankful. Because the way my mind works, I see everything that's wrong way more easily than I see the things that are right. And it's an exercise, and that's kind of why I walked up here, as an exercise to be thankful. So I came up here to pick something to be thankful about, and something that has struck me is I'm thankful for this church. I mean, other people have already said it. They're thankful for this family. But I'm thankful for a particular thing, as I'm thankful for the leadership in this church. Like I said, I've been here since 1986. So I haven't been in a lot of other churches, but I've been exposed to a handful of other churches. I've been involved in like youth ministries with other churches and things. And the thing that has struck me about this church is how truly God-led it is, and how good our leadership is at putting God at the top of our org chart. And I think that's something that other churches maybe don't do as well as we do. And I mean, nobody's perfect. Dub isn't perfect. And mistakes have been made in this church, I think. I think mistakes have been made by the leadership in this church at times, though thank God they've been rare, honestly. But in those times, I think the leadership, God has given us a leadership that's been able to step up and say, you know what, we got it wrong. And we're gonna seek God, and we feel that this is where God is leading us now. Sorry we got it wrong, but we're gonna try to follow God again. I mean, I can't think of many examples because our leadership is good at following God to start with. But I'm not gonna to give any details of anything I do remember, but I do remember a couple of instances of there being a response to something that was going on in the community that as a church you would expect us not to be happy about. And there was an emotional response from leadership. And then even the next week, it was, you know what, that was a me response, not a God response. We're sorry. This is what we think God wants us to do. And I'm really thankful to be part of a church where that's the case.
I think everybody knows me. I've been here long enough, which means you know that I am a single, currently unemployed mother. And I have to just say that I am very thankful for God's provision. I have never had to go without a meal. My child's never missed a meal. She's never gone without clothes. And it is all thanks to God that I am able to provide the way that I can, and that He does, and my parents and people in this church. And without Him, I don't know where I would be. So I'm just so thankful for His provision in mine and my child's life.
This is gonna be short, but I'm thankful that all of you have been praying for my dad.